Daniel chapter 12, and I am weighing what my next series is going to be. I thought about going into Revelation. That's a little bit of a heavy book. I don't know if maybe you need a break from prophetic studies, but there's so much about the culture that we're living in right now that would kind of lend itself to knowing the signs of the times, and so I've thought much about that as well. I can assure you that's not my PowerPoint up there, all right? Even I cannot see it from here. Daniel chapter 12, let me go through this. If you're looking for sermon outline notes, there are not any today because there's so much that needs to be done in this hour. Let me give you a little bit of review of things that we have been going through and studying. As we come to Daniel chapter 12, we're completing the fourth and the final vision of Daniel. Now, we're looking at the tribulation period. It's thought of the scriptures also as the 70th week of Daniel. There's other names or phrases that describe the end of times. For instance, the end of the ages, the times of the Gentiles, the latter days. In Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 7, Jeremiah writes that it will be the time of Jacob's trouble. And then Daniel chapter 12, you have your Bible there, and verse 1, Daniel 12 and verse 1, we read that it is a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation even to that same time. Now, last week we reviewed Daniel, and I shared with you that the Antichrist really is the central figure as we came out of Daniel 11, and now we go into Daniel chapter 12. And so I'm hoping they're going to get my PowerPoint up, but if not, if you have your Bible, Daniel chapter 9, look with me at verse 27. Daniel 9, verse 27, and let's walk through who this Antichrist is and his place. So again, we're doing about half the message is going to be Daniel 12. The other half, we're going to be talking to you about missions. And then we're going to end the hour with 11 being baptized, which I think is a wonderful high mark at Hillsdale. But you have your Bible, Daniel chapter 9 and verse 27. And here's what we read. And he, that being the Antichrist, shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. Now, 1 week prophetically is 7 years. And in the midst of the week, 3.5 years into the tribulation, he shall cause the sacrifice of the oblation, that is, of the offering, to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he, the Antichrist, shall make it desolate. So here's the setting. We go into the tribulation period, not we, I believe the church has been raptured, but the world goes into a time of tribulation. There will rise up a man that we have seen described in various ways in the prophecies. He's been the little horn. He is also in Revelation. He is the great dragon. So as we come to this passage of scripture here, we are looking at this man who rises from the midst of 10 nations. In fact, he pushes up himself during the beginning of the tribulation. He ends up being a ruler over 3 countries, ultimately over the 10 countries, which we've told you represents the ancient Roman Empire. Now, with that said, you have your Bible, Daniel 11. Look with me at verse 40. Looks like we've got problems, guys. Why don't you turn that off until you can get it working? Otherwise, all my audience is looking at what you're doing. Can you do that? Is it possible to turn the PowerPoints off? Very good. All right. Sorry about this. Technical difficulties, and it is what it is. Daniel 11. Look with me then at verse 44. Daniel 11 and verse 44. We studied this last week, but I wanted to remind you, as you go to the end of times and the Antichrist is ruling, he interrupts that 7-year period at the 3.5-year mark in which he begins to create havoc in Israel. It's called the abomination of desolation. He actually will put himself in the temple in Jerusalem and demand that he be worshipped as God. Well, the nations began to rise against him. And we shared with you last week that there are nations in the north, which I believe ultimately describes the area of Russia. There's nations in the south, which would be Egypt, Libya, Ethiopia, some of the others that are named in the scripture. Those nations began coming towards Israel, where the Antichrist himself is now found. He is now seated there. He is now ruling there. And as you look at Daniel 11 and verse 44, he has conquered the north. He's conquered the south. But in Daniel 11 and verse 44, we read, "But tidings or news out of the east and out of the north shall trouble him," the Antichrist. "And therefore he shall go forth with great fury to destroy and utterly to make away many." So what does he do? He hears that there are armies coming from the north. There's armies coming from the east, which probably would be Iran, the nations that are over in there, and they're coming towards Israel. As a result of that, the Antichrist rises with his army. Remember, he's representing a confederation of 10 nations, really is the premier ruler of the world. Well, he comes out of Jerusalem, and he is attacking those who are coming from the north, those who are coming from the east. And he's successful for a season. In fact, look with me, Daniel 11 and verse 45. After the battle, he comes back into Jerusalem, and we read in verse 45, "And he shall plant the tabernacles of his palace." Tabernacle is another word for a tent. So you think about the sheiks of Arabia and their palatial tent. You've got an idea of what's happening here. So as you look at Daniel 11 and verse 45, the Antichrist is setting up a palatial dwelling, if you would, a tent. On where? On the holy mountain. On Mount Zion. Where the temple is. Where the place that the Jewish people and the Arabic people and, quote, the Christian nations of the world. And I'm using that in the broad term. But we all look to Jerusalem. It was that place where Christ was crucified. Of course, the Muslims have a different point of view with Jerusalem. But they all look to it as a, quote, a sacred place. Now, that brings us to the latter part of Daniel 11 and verse 45. "He shall, the Antichrist, plant the tabernacles of his palace between the seas, between the Mediterranean Sea, the Dead Sea, in the glorious high mountains," describing Mount Zion, "yet he shall come to his end." In other words, for a season it looks like he is the ruler, that there is no one that can withstand him. But he will come to his end. In fact, you read the latter part, "and none shall help him." And so we ask the question as we go to Daniel 12 and verse 1, what is it that upsets the Antichrist and his rule? What is the intervention that all of a sudden this one that seemed to have the world at his feet finds himself in a position that all that he has done has now been interrupted? And we come to Daniel 12 then and verse 1. And it is the time of the great tribulation. Here we are. We're at the 3.5 year mark, maybe further into that. But Daniel 12 and verse 1, here's what we read. "And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time, Daniel, thy people, shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in the book of life." Now, let me remind you of what we've studied. If you remember back in Daniel chapter 10, that we remember that there was a prince of Persia. Now, we shared that that is a demonic being. He is one that in the hierarchy of Satan and his demons, that there is one that is dedicated to oversee Persia. There was another at the end of Daniel chapter 10 that was dedicated to oversee Grecia, the prince of Grecia. Well, here we come to Daniel 12, and it is revealed in the Word. By the way, Michael is mentioned in several passages. But Daniel chapter 12, God has his own angel. And that angel, Michael, appears in the Scripture as having the power, the responsibility, the protection of God's people. Now, follow with me in this outline that you have here then. Michael the archangel will rise up to preserve the Jews. Why? Because it has always been the devil, the Satan's desire to destroy God's chosen people. He did all that he could to interrupt the line of Abraham, the promise of David, that there would be one that would be king forever and ever. And of course, that one is the Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God. Christ comes into the world. Herod sets his heart that he is going to destroy. He is going to kill the Lord. You look at the life and the ministry of Christ during his earthly ministry. And it was constant that the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the high priests were constantly threatening, constantly desiring that they might kill Christ. But Christ, we know, did not lay down his life until he chose the appointment with the cross. There he is sacrificed for the sins of the world. Israel rejects the Messiah. And as a result of that rejection, he is despised. He is mocked. He is scorned. And he gives up the ghost. But brethren, we know the rest of the story. 3 days later, what happens? He is raised from the dead. Jesus Christ, the one whom we worship, the one whom we serve, is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, the target of the Jews has always been the desire of Satan to destroy those people. Daniel chapter 12 and verse 1. At the darkest hour, at the moment that Israel, the Israel of the tribulation, is feeling that they are at peace finally, the covenant of 3.5 years, the treaty. But suddenly that covenant is broken by the Antichrist. As a result of that, he begins the persecution of the Jewish people. At that time, Michael is intervening. Now, I'm going to take you a little bit further in the study. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 6. I don't have time to go through all of this today. But Michael, again, is seen in Revelation chapter 12. In verse 6, we read, "And the woman," that is the remnant of the Jews, "fled into the wilderness," this is during the tribulation now, "where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. A Jewish calendar is 30 lunar days, so that translates to 3.5 years. Verse 7, "And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels." So here's what we need to grasp. There is always this battle in the spiritual world. We don't see it, but we see everywhere, I believe, the evidences of it. There is, in this culture today, people, as you're out and about, they don't have to be from a church, but they look at the world that we live in and they look at the changes in the culture, and everyone is asking, what is going on? Why are things the way they are? Things that don't make any sense. Why is this happening? And I believe that the Bible, prophetically, it gives us those answers. There is a spiritual battle, and that battle is constant. But as you look at the tribulation period, the battle begins to focus on Israel of the tribulation. But there is a battle between Michael and the archangel and between the devil, the dragon, and his angels, even now. Now, let me take you to the latter part of Daniel 12, verse 1. We read in Daniel 12 and verse 1 that there will be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, a people, that is, even to that same time. And at that time, speaking to Daniel, "Thy people," the Jewish people, "shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in the book of life." God has never forsaken his people. Let me say that again. God has never forsaken his people. Now notice Daniel 12, verse 2. Now, there are different interpretations, and so I'm going to just warn you. You might have a different look at this. That's between you and your study. But here is what I believe we're finding in Daniel 12 as we come to verse 2. I believe it will be a resurrection that will mark the end of the tribulation. Not only the second coming of Christ, but a resurrection. Let's look at what the Bible says. Daniel 12 and verse 2. "And many of them that sleep." Now, we know sleep is a word that describes death. We know that as we read in the Bible, that physical death is not an annihilation of the soul. But we know that God has created us, each one of us, are eternal beings. Some of us who have put our faith and trust in Christ have the hope of life eternal in Jesus Christ in heaven. But we also know that there is another destiny for those that reject Christ. And that destiny is God's judgment and hell. Now let's look at Daniel 12 and verse 2. And many of them that sleep, that have died in the dust of the earth shall awake. The dead shall awake. Two destinies. Some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. As you read in Revelation, Revelation speaks of two resurrections. So there is the resurrection of the redeemed. There is also the resurrection of those who are damned, the unsaved. They are resurrected for the great white throne judgment. Now let's walk through this. There are, and again, you might disagree with this, but let me just lay out what I believe the scriptures teach. We know that as we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, that the Bible reveals that Christ and His resurrection was the first fruits. Now, by first fruits, it means the first of many who would be resurrected. But I believe then there is a second part of that resurrection. The first fruits. And then I believe that there is the rapture of the church. Now, I believe that that is the catalyst that will begin the tribulation and the revelation of the rise of the Antichrist. Let me give you that thought. 1 Thessalonians, you might want to turn, chapter 4, verse 13. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, Paul writes to the church at Thessalonica, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Now, what hope does a believer have? Verse 16. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God. And here's the hope. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. How many of you have loved ones that you have said goodbye to? They've died. They're with the Lord. Those are the first to be resurrected. So Christ, the first fruits. I believe when the Lord comes, He will come, rapture the church. The dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we read again, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then verse 17, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with Him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Now some of you say, well, I believe in a mid-tribulation rapture. Well, I hope you're wrong and I hope I'm right. Okay? But I'm just going to leave it at that. But my point is this. There is a day of resurrection. There is a time that the Lord will raise His own from the grave. But there is also, I believe, a third part of that resurrection. Daniel chapter 12, again, and look at verse 2. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, eternal life. Now I'm going to go to Daniel 12 and look at verse 3. And they that be wise, that have understanding, shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, that is, as the light. And they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Now, we are not in the tribulation. I know some of you might feel like you are. And you might even look at our government and you think, I think I know who the Antichrist is. And I can assure you, I don't think he's in Washington, all right? I personally think he's going to rise in Europe, but that's setting that aside. Some of you would think maybe it would be the Pope that's going to be the Antichrist. That might be something we'll hit in Revelation, so we'll come back for that one. But for this right now, I want to move forward and just simply say this. The one thing that you and I can be doing, debating when the rapture might be, is that we can now turn as many as we can by being the salt and the light of the earth, turn them to righteousness. We cannot be quiet about the wickedness and the depravity that our society is embracing. We have a responsibility to shine God's truth. And we cannot apologize for that. It is our duty to turn men and women to Jesus Christ. Now, consider, if you would, also then, what I believe is the second resurrection. Daniel chapter 12, verse 2, again. Many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth, we've seen some shall awake to eternal life, to everlasting life. But then we also continue to read, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And so there's these two resurrections. One, ever eternal life. The other, though, contempt, judgment. You have your Bible. I'm going to invite you. Would you turn with me to Revelation chapter 20 for a moment? Would you turn there? Revelation chapter 20. And we're going to look at verses 4 and 5. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 4 and 5. Now you said, Pastor, the first resurrection that is mentioned in Daniel 12:2, and then the resurrection of those upon whom there is contempt, when are those resurrections? Now, I believe the first one is going to be the coming of Christ as his second coming to this earth. I believe it's going to be at that time that the dead that are, now who are the dead during this time? I believe they're the Old Testament saints. I believe they're the ones that have been martyred during the tribulation period. There will be many that will die. They'll be beheaded as described in Revelation. But let's go to Revelation 20 here and let's look at the second resurrection of those that will be damned, those that will be judged. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast. So there are going to be some who are Jews and some who are Gentiles that will turn to Christ in the tribulation period. They are going to refuse the mark. And as a result of that, they will suffer persecution. They will suffer beheading. They will suffer times of trouble like the world has never seen. Now, I would ask you this, coming out of the whole thing with Jab, regardless of where you're going to go on that, is it possible in 2022 for the governments of the world to dictate that everybody's going to get a number? Is that possible? Because almost all the world took the jab. So we have to understand, we have watched in our time already. And by the way, taking the jab is not the mark of the beast, all right? All right. Just in case somebody goes there. But I do want you to know, we've already seen what humanity will do. An edict of government, a warning of the possibility of death and destruction? Or what about the warning that unless you've got the mark, you can't buy bread? You can't buy meat? Unless you've got the mark, your money's digitized and you can't even get your money out of the bank. Do you think that can happen? You better believe it can happen. We're already seeing it can happen. Now, what's it going to look like? Well, come back and we'll go through Revelation and figure that out, all right? But go back with me. I wanted you to see the second one, if you would. All right, so I'm going to pick this up again. Revelation chapter 20, verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. What is that? The millennial reign of Jesus Christ. Question, where are those who rejected Christ? Verse 5, but the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. Now, it ends with, this is the first resurrection. The first resurrection is referring to what we've already looked in verse 4. Those that will live and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. Now, verse 5, though, where are those who rejected him? They will be judged 1,000 years later. They'll be resurrected. Their bodies will be resurrected. And we'll look, if we have time, in Revelation, and we'll see the great white throne judgment. Now, I need to move on because I have about 8 verses to cover. You have your Bible, Daniel 12, verse 4. Here we go. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words, close the book, seal the book, even to the time of the end. And then this description, and many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. So I don't have time to develop that. But the idea is that in the last days, in the latter times, that there would be a major expanse of knowledge. And you know, we live in that day. Every one of us, whether we have our computers or we have our phones and we have our Google, you can Google on your phone almost anything, and knowledge is at your fingertips. Now, I think we're living in very much the day of the growth of knowledge. I know I have on my computer, I think it's about 3,000 volumes of books just for my library, not including what I have in my office upstairs. So there is a wonderful breadth or growth of knowledge. Now, that brings me to verses 5 through 13, and let's pick this up. Notice with me then the tribulation, and I want you to notice its duration and its details. Follow with me. We're going to introduce to you three people. Here we go. Daniel 12, verse 5 through 7. So let's begin reading. You have your Bible. Then I, Daniel, looked. He's already been told, Daniel, shut the book. That's all that you're going to learn. That's all that you're going to know. Daniel, though, he looks, and he beholds there standing other two other beings that are there. I think they're angels. The one on this side of the bank of the river, and as Hiddekel, or the Tigris River that we saw earlier in Daniel 10, and the other on that side of the bank of the river. So we have two, I believe, angels that come into this vision here. One is on one side, one is on the other side of the river. Then we come to Daniel chapter 12 and verse 6. One, I believe it's one of the angels, said to the man, here's the third individual, clothed in linen. Now, do you remember in Daniel chapter 10, there was a man clothed in linen. And that man was none other in the same description as Jesus Christ is found in Revelation chapter 1. The idea of the linen is the idea of the clothing of a priest. So, Jesus Christ being our priest. Now, let's go through this. Daniel 12, verse 6. One of those standing on either side of the river, one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon, or if you would, above the waters of the river. How long is the question, shall it be to the end of these wonders? So Daniel was told, close your book and seal it. Daniel 12 verse 4. But you know, Daniel has a lot of questions. And so as he's there being told to seal the book, there shows up two angels, I believe. And one of the angels finally says, Lord, how long? How long before all of these wonders come to pass? Now look at the answer, Daniel 12, look at verse 7. And I heard the man clothed in linen, I believe that is Christ, which was upon the waters of the river, which he held up in his right hand, or held up his right hand and his left hand. This is the idea of swearing in court, vowing before the Lord. And he sware by him, I believe it is God, that liveth forever, that it shall be a time, a year, a times 2 years and a half, 3.5 years, when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people. All these things shall be finished. So here's what Daniel's vision is. He is watching the suffering of the Jewish people. He is watching what will be at the end of times. He is watching the sorrow and the horror of those times. And the angel says, how long before all this comes to pass? And Daniel 12 and verse 7, the answer is the time of suffering will be 3.5 years. A time, times two, three now, and a half. 3.5 years. What will happen in that 3.5 years? Daniel 12, verse 7, the Antichrist will be doing what? He'll be scattering the holy people. Who are the holy people? They are the Jewish people. Now, if we had time, we could go to Matthew 25 and we could see the message there of when that time will come, that there'll be flee in the mountain. They'll be running out into the wilderness to try to escape the sorrow and the suffering that is brought upon them by the Antichrist. Let me give you another verse. I'm almost done here. Zechariah 14 and verse 2 and 3. We read there, I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. And so we already see from Zechariah's point of view, there will be a day that the nations of the earth are going to come and begin to oppress Israel in the tribulation period. And we read, the city shall be taken and the houses rifled, the women ravished. Half of the city shall go forth into captivity. The residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. So here's the thought, and I need to close. Before us, there is the history that is yet to be. It'll be a horrific time of sorrow and suffering. You know, as you listen to doomsday prophets today, and by that, I mean, you can listen to all manner of things that are going to happen. Shortage of food, there's going to be famine, the money's going to change. All of the doomsday things that we are hearing predicted. Well, you know, some of that is going to come. Will it be in my lifetime? I don't know. But I am watching the change in our culture and world, and I know that it's not for good. It's getting worse and worse. Now, let me close by inviting you to look with me at Daniel 12 and verse 8. Daniel's confused. And finally, Daniel proposes a question to the man in linen, who I believe is the pre-incarnate appearance of Christ. And I heard, Daniel says, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, which I think is an acknowledgement that this is the Lord himself. O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? In other words, what's the outcome? How is all this going to end? What is going to be the final conclusion of the whole matter of this tribulation? Daniel 12, verse 9. The Lord says to Daniel, go thy way, Daniel. For the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. In other words, Daniel, it's not for you to know. Can I say this to you today? There are some things that we can disagree on because neither one of us really know. But we do know the things that we read. And we know that in the end of time, there is going to be a time of great sorrow. Daniel 12, then, I need to close. Verse 10, will you see this sign of the coming, the times? Many shall be purified and made white and tried. But the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. Let me say this. I don't know what the future holds, but I know that down through history, persecution has always purified the church. You think about in your own personal life, when you've had trouble and trials, it might be sickness, it might be sorrow with family, it might be troubles of other types, but when you've had those times, it brought your spirit low, humble. And in those times of humility, you learn, you grow, or you become bitter, or you can become better. Trials have always purged God's people. Now finally, two other verses here. The latter part, Daniel 12, verse 11. And for the time that the daily sacrifices, back to the middle of the tribulation, shall be taken away, and the abomination that make desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. So 30 days have been added now. Verse 12, blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,335 days. So an additional 45 days. You say, Pastor, why are there additional 30 days? And now there's another 45 days. And I can only tell you that God has a plan. I don't know what is going to happen in that time. Maybe it's going to be the time of judgment of the nations. Maybe it's also going to be a time that the Lord is setting up his earthly kingdom that will exist for 1,000 years. I don't know what happens in that time, but I do want to close with Daniel 12 and verse 13. And so here we have the Lord again saying, Daniel, go thy way, till the end be. For thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the days. Let me give you three thoughts with that and I close. The first, go thy way. Daniel, go on. Put it in another way. Daniel, go and be faithful. He's 90 years old or more. 90 years old. He's got a lot of questions for the Lord. And God says to him, Daniel, go your way. Be faithful, Daniel. Second thing that you see in that is this, rest. Daniel, you're 90 years old and you will come to your rest. You will sleep, Daniel. You will die. And then the last part, and stand in thy lot at the end of the days. What is that? It's a promise of inheritance. You know, I've learned in life that you might think you're going to inherit something, but sometimes there's some rude, disappointing news when you're waiting for your inheritance. Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand if that's happened, but we live in a selfish world. And people will promise you everything. When I die, you're going to be all right. And then you find out, all right doesn't mean anything. But I want you to know there is an inheritance. And that inheritance for God's people is with the Lord. And everything we have in Christ is secure. A lawyer can't take it away. A trustee can't strike you out of the will. It is yours, Daniel. Stand, you will have the day that you will stand in thy lot. Well, that's the story of Daniel. I got to close. I don't know if I'll pick up Revelation again or not. I might make our way through that. I don't know. I don't want Hillsdale to go into a fit of depression either, so we'll figure this out. Let me ask you as I close, are you ready for the coming of the Lord? The signs of the time are disturbing, but we need not be filled with anxiety, for God is God. He is King, and He, the Lord Jesus Christ, is coming. Are you ready for His coming?